I'll just say a few words, and then hopefully by the end of it, we'll have the what Sylvia just wants to finish off. Cynthia just wants to finish off with, and then we'll press in a little bit. Just to do with that word compassion, Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. I'll read from verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. So the word compassion in there, the Greek for it, it's a great word. The Greek for it, I can't even pronounce. So I won't even attempt. You're going to have to look it up yourself. But basically, it means the bowels yearn. The bowels yearn. So it's in your gut. It's that feeling that you get in your gut, which then initiates sympathy, pity, action. Basically, you feel it in your gut when something hits you right there. When it comes to the NIV, they use the word, instead of compassion, they use the word indignant. Which, when you first hear that word, it sounds negative. But indignant means anger that is a reaction to something that is wrong or unfair. And it's that kind of feeling that you get in your gut when something grabs you and you have compassion. There's a kind of righteous anger or certainly feeling that comes, which it comes because you think, this is wrong. This is unfair. It's not right. And that's what compassion really encapsulates. So it's a great name to have for a ministry in that sense. Now, the Bible's full of directives when it comes to God's people, telling us what we should be like and should be doing. And Paul instructs believers, for example, to have the same attitude as Jesus. And he says in Philippians 2:12, it says these words: "My dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." He uses the phrase there, "work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So basically, he expects us, the Word of God expects us to work out in our everyday living, in our Christian walk, what it is to have the same attitude as Christ. Because he did. He worked it out. His faith, his belief in his everyday living, we should do the same. And what I basically want to make the point from that is, we've got to forget the idea that we can't achieve what the Bible says. We've got to forget the idea that we cannot achieve what the Bible says, because we can. We can. Paul says, work out your salvation. In other words, put the effort in to make yourself more like Christ and to have the same attitude as Christ. Work it out. Now, the Bible doesn't ask us to do things that we can't do. It asks us to do things that we might find hard and difficult, but it doesn't ask us to do things that we can't do, because we can. Because not only have we got our own motivation, but we have in us the Holy Spirit of God. who is able to do all things. And so we've just got to get that out of our heads. I can't. It's impossible. No way. He expects believers to work it out on an everyday basis. So, when the Bible says, Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. We can actually do it. We can actually love our enemies. It may seem hard, but we can. So the example, for example, of Corrie Ten Boom. You remember Corrie Ten Boom, who during the war in prison, she was in a situation where her jailer was directly responsible for the death of her friend, in the way that she was treated, etc. And then the war finishes. Years go by, and at a Christian conference, she bumps into him. And she recognizes him, and he recognizes her. And then comes the test of putting this verse into practice. Love your enemies. And she was able to forgive. And he needed it. He needed it. It was unfinished business until he saw her. We can love our enemies because the Bible tells us, love your enemies. Amen? We can overcome because the Bible tells us we are overcomers. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Which means we can do it. And therefore our attitude should always be, when evil comes shouting at our door, not to repay evil with evil, but to repay it with good. To repay it in the way that Jesus would. And if the Bible says that we can do it, we can. So for example, it says we can forgive. 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We can. I think that's three times it's fallen. Hopefully we've still got an overhead projector when it's there and working. When the Bible says we can overcome the we can. Amen? We can overcome it. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In other words, when the Bible tells us that we can be free, we can. So what is holding you? What is trapping you? What is binding you and bonding you and chaining you? The Word of God says, you can be free. So be free. Change your attitude in some way, because it is entirely possible. I was reading, and those of you who read the same readings, there was a reading this week, and it said about being able to be free, not to pray away your faith. Anybody read that this week? Not to pray away your faith. And what it was getting at is, if inside we don't believe something's going to happen, we can begin to pray in a dodgy way, as if it's not going to happen, and pray in a roundabout way, because really inside we don't believe. And if we pray like that, we reduce our faith. When if we're going to pray, prayer is all about believing, and therefore pray with faith. Pray as if it's going to happen. Because that is the whole essence of faith. That is our part to play. The result is down to God. But from our point of view, we don't pray negative. We pray believing God that it's going to happen. We can be free. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, "Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you and will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." In other words, we can be faithful because the Bible tells us we can be faithful. Be faithful. And so we can. So when that temptation comes, when that issue comes, who are we loyal to? Who are we faithful to? We can overcome it because the Bible says, be faithful. And in that context, we can also be joyful. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We can be joyful because the Bible tells us, be joyful. Amen? So all these things, simple as they sound, if we behave and act contrary to those things, it reduces faith. But actually, when we believe God, we build our faith. And when God asks us to do something, it can be done. It can be done. And therefore, when it speaks about be compassionate, we can be compassionate. I was watching the film yesterday, actually. Aeronauts or something. I think they called it Aeronauts. It was about a particular guy, a true story, who in a balloon back in 1850s or something, I can't remember what the date was, brought about a breakthrough in getting the weather. And the only way he could do it was to go up through the clouds and go as high as you can. So this is back in the day when they didn't have all the technical supplies, the oxygen and all that kind of stuff. And so he just went up there with his mate, and they began to rise through the clouds. They went through a cumulus cloud. It was thunder and lightning and stuff in there. They managed to get through that cloud. He began to suffer from lack of oxygen and stuff like that as the higher and higher. And they managed to get 7 miles into the air, almost passing out. And then, well, he did pass out and then came around and then had to reduce and get down. So you're into freezing zones. You're into all kinds of stuff. Imagine doing that. The attitude that he has was, I can. Not, I can't. The rest of us would say, you can't. And in fact, a lot of people say, no, but you're crazy. They were looking up, disappears up through the big cumulus cloud, disappears out of sight. But for them, it was the adventure of a lifetime. It almost killed them, but they did it. They did it. And they got breakthrough in terms of reading the weather and the stratas, the different stratas in the atmosphere, in a balloon. In a balloon. And that was because they said, I can. Now, is there anything this morning where you're saying, I can't? When, if you read the Word of God, it says, you can. And is the thing that's holding you back your attitude? Because the Word of God says your attitude should be the same as Christ. Well, I'm not Christ. You can. Because the same Spirit that lives in Christ, lived in Christ, is the same Spirit that lives now in me. Amen? So we cannot say I can't if it's only our attitude that's holding us back. We can. We can. We can. And when the Bible says be compassionate, even to those you find it difficult to be compassionate to, by the grace of God, you can. You can forgive. You can be free. You can win a victory in Jesus' name. Amen. How are we doing? We're good. Yeah, just watch the wires that are standing there. Praise God. Let's pray. What I'd like to do, just before Cynthia comes and just rounds off for us, just think about, is the stuff that you're saying, I can't? And if you're honest, it's more about you, your attitude. Yes, there is circumstances where it seems there is no way we can move left or right, but we can still believe in faith for a miracle. But certainly in the areas where it's me, it's my choice, it's my attitude that will determine even having a go, even being able to get out of, then the Bible says we can. We can. And therefore, just right now, just bring that to the Lord, that thing, that situation, that attitude, and just say, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. I know it's possible, but if I'm honest, it's me. And I need to change my thinking. I need changing. I need to change my attitude. Please, Lord, change me so that I can say I can. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Just give it over to Him now in Jesus' name. Father, we give You thanks and praise for Your goodness. And Lord, as we are open and honest with You at this point in time, I pray that from this simple seed, testimony will come of a change, a seed change in attitude, in circumstance, in faith, because we begin to say, Lord, in Christ, I can. All things are possible. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are we good? Let's give her a welcome back.